Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Edmore's is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dano Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is! The Alex Dano Show here on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM. Streaming all over the internet, WQAM.com on your computer, on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app, or the Radio.com app. However you listen tonight, we appreciate your patronage. With you till 7 o'clock, at which time I'll be sticking around for the Panthers broadcast. Important game tonight. Got to get these 2 points at the Ottawa Senators. Doug Plagans will have the call. You know, I want to at least attempt to right a wrong from yesterday. And I do this sometimes. You probably noticed this, Tito, that sometimes when I have these like really shortened shows, and like I had more guests on yesterday, right? Because I had an opening segment where I fly through a bunch of nonsense. What do you mean nonsense? This is important stuff, people. I apologize for saying that. But a first segment yesterday, an interview with Don Bailey Jr., an interview with Doug Plagans, even though only on for an hour, I threw out the phone number yesterday, even though I had no intention of taking phone calls. No intention whatsoever of taking phone calls. I still threw out the phone number yesterday, and a couple of people were on hold, and they pointed out my hypocrisy on the text line. How dare you throw out the phone line when all you do is lead me to call in and then nothing? So I'm going to try and right that wrong tonight. I will throw out the phone line, and I am planning on taking calls tonight because we've got a segment open, a couple segments open before Doug Plagans joins us live from Ottawa. We will not only talk Panthers hockey, not only talk about Henrik Borgstrom, who will make his NHL debut with the Florida Panthers tonight, we will guess what Doug Plagans had for lunch. But before that, we will take phone calls. And you can get in on the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Or you can get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. But please don't text and drive. You can reach us there at 56022. And I would honestly, whether it's via the text line or via the phone lines, to those alleged, 39,000 plus, 35,000 plus? I know the official attendance today was over 30,000 at Marlins Park. For those of you who are out there, allegedly, and you're driving around and you'd like to chat about your opening day experience, I would love to hear from you. And for those, whether you were out there or you were watching on television, it is so Marlins the way the season started. Now, this is a season where Derek Jeter has gotten rid of just about every name you recognize. He's even gotten rid of Rich Waltz. He's gotten rid of the sea creature races. You know, Marlins Park, the things that go on in that park are barely recognizable at this point. And it's why folks are predicting this team could lose 100-plus games out of 162 this year. And so, the way the Marlins started their season today on the very first pitch was so Marlins.
This will be the first pitch of the Major League season.
Oh, this is exciting.
Urania to Happ. Oh. And a drive to right.
Go, yeah. Baby.
What were you saying, Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
Gone.
It's not good.
Oh, baby.
Oh, my.
Jose Urania to Ian Happ. Very first pitch. Like, we're not just talking first at bat. We're not talking first inning. We're talking very first pitch thrown is out of the park. And I've got to hope that this is not the upcoming Marlins season in a nutshell.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
What is that, from Family Guy? Oh, man. That is great. 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. I thought Clark Spencer said it very well in the Miami Herald today. So one of the pregame festivities you saw before the Marlins took the field today for a very early 12:30 p.m. start. I mean, early by baseball standards. It's not like they started at 6 a.m., but after the DJ Khaled concert, you saw Carlos Jimenez, writes Clark Spencer, the 64-year-old mayor of Miami-Dade County, delivered a crisp strike with the ceremonial first pitch. The Marlins should have left him out there because Jose Urania's first pitch, the first pitch of the Major League season as the Marlins and Cubs kicked things off, was crushed by Ian Happ for an upper deck home run. It went downhill from there in an 8-4 loss at sun-splashed Marlins Park. So here's the attendance number. Before a crowd of 32,151, the first game for new owners Bruce Sherman and Derek Jeter. Urania hit three batters and walked two others in a monstrosity of a first inning that required 36 pitches and consumed 20 minutes as the Cubs jumped out to a 3-0 lead. And to make matters more ironic, I'm not going to say worse, because I still support this man, even though he's no longer a Marlin. And I know a lot of you do, because it's not like it was really his fault that he's no longer here, because I think he would have liked to have stayed here if management was willing to pay his salary and spend some money on the rest of the roster. But Giancarlo Stanton made his debut as a New York Yankee today. And okay, he didn't crush the very first pitch the way that Ian Happ did with the Cubs, but second pitch that Giancarlo Stanton faced as a New York Yankee hit a laser against the Blue Jays. Ira Winderman said it on our airwaves that apparently that like set some kind of a record for highest velocity of an upper deck home run in Major League Baseball history. Did you catch that, Tito?
113 miles per hour.
113 miles. Very, very second pitch that Giancarlo Stanton, our former beloved Stanton, former beloved Marlin slugger, will still be loved even though he's no longer with us. He's in a better place now. He's wearing pinstripes. Very second pitch that he faces as a New York Yankee in the regular season opening day crushes opposite field. I mean, that was a rope. It was a laser, whatever you want to call it. You know, it reminded you of what Stanton used to do on a regular basis, you know, 49 times last year in a Miami Marlins uniform, and now he's doing it in pinstripes. So it's extremely, extremely frustrating to open up a baseball season this way. It really is. It really is tough to open up a season this way. And I know that Marlins man was not there because Marlins man tried to make a lowball offer for his season tickets. Again, that's so Marlins. So Marlins. I mean, that's probably the type of shenanigans that, you know, previous ownership let fly. You know, okay, we want $275K. For these season tickets. Marlins man wants to cut a check for $200K. We'll let it slide. What's an extra $7,500? But apparently that no longer flies with Derek Jeter. And, you know, one of the things they were talking about today on the broadcast with now, you know, Paul Severino, now the play-by-play man instead of Rich Waltz. And, you know, Severino, I think he's going to do a fine job. Had no issue with the job that he's doing. You know, I know that first inning was very difficult for him, because you have to try. It's opening day. It's exciting. You have to try. And it's your first day on the job in earnest, regular season opening day. So you've got to try and put a positive spin on a baseball team that is comprised of a lot of players that fans don't recognize and a team that's expected to lose 100-plus games this year. So it's very difficult to try and put a positive spin on that. So he was definitely doing that. I think he did a fine job. I think he's going to really grow into that role. But it is weird watching a Marlins broadcast without Rich Waltz. You know, the same way that it was strange a couple of years ago when they gave Tommy Hutton, who was the most popular part of that broadcast, the axe, because, you know, and of course this was under Jeffrey Loria and David Sampson, but they gave Tommy Hutton the axe because he dared to speak negatively about the team when it was appropriate to do so. If you're doing something wrong, Tommy Hutton would call it like he saw it. So there was no toleration for that, even though that was, you know, one of the reasons why people actually tuned in to watch baseball on TV in this town was because Tommy Hutton did such a good job and was such a straight shooter. He gave him the axe a couple of years ago. Now Rich Waltz is gone as well. And the Marlins telecast just feels completely different. And yeah, I wrote about that on Twitter during that first inning. And then, you know, I would say the response that I got that made the most sense was, well, Dono, I don't think it's an accident that they want these Marlins telecasts to sound and feel completely different, because that's what Derek Jeter and Bruce Sherman are trying to do. They are trying to change things, tweak things, whether it's getting rid of the sea creature races, overhauling, you know, the TV commentary team, keeping the roof open for more games this year. Although don't tell me I'm the only person. When they were talking about keeping the roof open for more games this year, I can't be the only one who thought, yeah, that's going to save a lot of money on that air conditioning bill. I mean, can you imagine the price to FPL to cool a room that large, 35 plus thousand seats, closed roof, AC cranking to 74 degrees? That's a hefty FPL bill. Like I complain when my FPL in a three bedroom, two bathroom house, when my FPL bill eclipses $200, I freak out during the summer. And so the Marlins Park bill, if you can keep that roof open, let the wind get the breeze in there a little bit more often, and you know, save a few grand on that electric bill. I think that's something that they're looking for. Texter writes in, Jesse Lockhart, who's one of our chronics, had the best tweet today, I think. Boy, I hope Jeter knows what he's doing. I mean, did he mean that to be ironic? And something else I saw today, I saw these photos on social media because I think that, you know, the actual TV broadcast on Fox Sports Florida obviously went out of their way not to show these people on TV. You'll understand why when I tell you what it was. But I saw these pictures going around social media of fans who were in attendance at Marlins Park today wearing paper bags over their heads. Saw the pictures on social media, didn't see it actually on the broadcast. And that's always a funny one for me, right? So, okay, you're upset about management not spending. You're upset about the direction ownership is going in with the club. So your desired form of protest is to show up to the game with a paper bag over your head. Now, I'm presuming the people who did that probably paid for their tickets. And if they didn't, they somehow got a freebie some way, shape, or form. You probably paid for parking or you paid for concessions while you're at the stadium for several hours at some point. So at the end of the day, don't the Marlins still win? Like, if you've got such a problem with ownership and the direction the team is going in, that your desired form of protest is to show up at the park, pay, whether it be for tickets or parking or concessions or some combination thereof, to show up to the park with a paper bag over your head. I mean, if you're that upset with what's going on, wouldn't the better form of protest just be to stay home and not watch the game? Or is it what I suspect here? The people who did that just wanted to go viral. I mean, it's all about you at the end of the day, right? Like, you think, oh, I'm doing something so courageous. I'm standing up to Bruce Sherman and Derek Jeter. I'm going to show up to the park and I'm going to humiliate them by putting a paper bag over my head after I've paid for my lower bowl seats and I paid for my parking in the team's garage and I've paid for the cafecito that I got because I got there before noon and I was very tired today. I mean, aren't the Marlins still winning in that scenario? I'm pretty sure whoever did that today just wanted their paper bag covered face to show up on Deadspin and show up on Barstool Sports, and you accomplished that goal today. I think it's all about you. Oh, I've got clarification on something, so maybe I'm wrong about my AC conspiracy theory. Marlins Park AC does not stop running when the roof is open. Actually, it makes units run longer. Oh, so maybe that's why Jeffrey Loria kept the roof closed. He wasn't sending that extra AC outside. Maybe he was the one being cheap with this.
Everybody's just trying to save a couple bucks out here, Dono.
Everyone's trying to save that money, man. You cannot deny that. 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Hey, Tito, of course, my screen's not working today. Rick and Davey. What's up, Rick?
What's up, Alex? How you doing, Matt?
Well, man, how are you?
Good. Congratulations, by the way, on your new son.
Thank you. At least I had something to be happy about today. It wasn't the Marlins. It was the fact that my son is not, at 4 weeks old, is not old enough to be upset by the crap that was out on the field today.
And obviously, I know your name is Ricardo, so thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, sure.
And I will be the godfather. It's okay. No, thank you. It's an honor to be the godfather. It's okay. Listen, Matt, let me tell you, I'm on the road, and these last 4 hours, I have had tears in my eyes laughing from those renditions of Take Me Out to the Ballpark.
Oh, those are so great.
My God. Ozzy Osbourne is, hands down, the best of the worst. But to me, what makes Ditka funny and why I laugh is because I am picturing...
Hey, hold on. Let me ask my producer something. Tito, can you pull up that Ozzy Osbourne Take Me Out to the Ballgame? Because... What baffles me about that most is, and I get it that Ozzy, like in his later years, he's known more for being incoherent, slurring his words. But I will point out, listen to this for a second.
It's Ozzy Osbourne. Real quick. crazy crowd.
Singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
I can't hear you.
I can hear you.
Are you ready? One, two, three, and let's go out to the ball game. Let's go out to the room. Take me in the room. Bring us in the room. I don't remember what I have to do. And I'm going out to the room.
So, what I want to point out here about Ozzy Osbourne is, at some point in his life, for decades, this guy was a professional singer. Like, whether he was the front man for Black Sabbath or his lucrative solo career, a professional singer. And that's the best he could give you, Rick, for Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Yeah, I counted that he got 7 words right. the over-under was 5. I counted 7. But
good for him.
But I'm going back to that, to the deep cut. To me, what makes the deep cut one funny is because I am picturing the scene that Hawk is setting up where Ditka, they're tapping him on the shoulder, come on, come on, you're going to be late. And I'm sure he's having a beer, and he's just chomping in that on his gum. And he finally gets up there, and he just grabs him over, like, give me that damn microphone. And he just rushes through it. And then I'm picturing Shannon saying that the old lady in the organ, she just can't keep up with Ditka, how fast he's going.
He breezed through that, man.
I'm telling you, I've been on the road. And I've been laughing. I'm still laughing for the last 4 hours from those renditions. And if they would take I think mostly, for the most part, people that have sung it have some ties to Chicago, like Mr. T and that guitarist guy from, or lead singer, Eddie
whatever. Vedder, yeah, from Pearl Jam.
Eddie Vedder, yeah. And obviously Ditka and Scottie Pippen and all that. I would like to see the man who, when he went on trial, before Congress said, "Oh, I don't speak. I'm English. I don't speak English. I want to see Sammy Sosa's rendition of Take Me Out to the Ballpark."
I would love that. I appreciate the call, Rick.
Yeah. Happy Easter, brother.
Happy Easter to you too. All right, so this is interesting. I've been told that what's this guy's name on line one? Alex on line one. You were sitting next to the guys with the paper bags over their heads.
Yes, sir, I was.
Did you have a bag over your head?
No, I did not. Fortunately for me, I'm catch 22. I'm a Marlins fan, but I was raised in Chicago with my dad.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I'm a Cubs fan. Outside of when, you know, the next 4 days, I'm a Cubs fan, but outside of that, I'm pulling for the Marlins, even though I disagree with the way the management handled things. But I sat next to these guys with the paper bags, and believe it or not, they are diehard Marlins fans, and they were giving me crap about it. But that's all right. I told them I was a Marlins fan, too. But they really want to see the Marlins win, but the thing is they can't identify with what the Marlins are doing. So yeah, they were just showing their disgust with the Marlins. So, you know, even though they were rooting for them and really wanted the Marlins to win, but it's a catch-22. It's tough. You're rooting for a team, but they're putting out babies out there, so it's sort of hard.
And listen, I know that feeling well because it seems like at least half of the sports teams that I root for have, and maybe not quite that bad, the issues the Marlins have, but I root for plenty of teams that have put crap teams and have made bad financial decisions out there. And to me, like, you wouldn't know it for the way that I've been talking these last 20 minutes, but I am a Marlins fan. Like, I am proudly a Marlins fan, but it doesn't mean I can't be frustrated.
And you know what? Exactly right. I was telling a young kid, maybe 12 years old, 14 years old behind me, I was telling him, look, you see that kid right there, that center fielder, Brinson? That's your future right there. That kid's going to be really good. And I loved, before the game started, that Brinson kid. He came over to where we were sitting at right there, right off the sideline there, right off their base side. He came in and signed autographs and was, you know, saying hi to all these little other kids, Marlin fans. And I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, that's great. That kid's going to be the future. He's good. I know he's got the goods. He's just young. But then I said to myself, well, then what? Once he becomes good, what are the Marlins going to do? Trade him away? You know, it's obviously we got to wait and see what happens. You know, you want to support your team, but it's difficult. You've gone through Huizenga doing it. You've gone through Loria doing it. And you're just hoping that somehow, I don't know, I'm hoping the Marlins really upset people this year. And I'm a Cubs fan, but I'm also a Marlins fan. But I really hope, you know, the Marlins are missing, they're missing young pitching. You know, it's sad what happened to Jose Ito and everything. But it's terrible how they just gave up on, you know, Stanton, Osuna, and everybody else. You were maybe one, two, three pitchers away from being a contender.
And that was Stanton's exact issue. Like, when he was meeting with management before they traded him, like, he was trying to tell them, like, I really think we're just a couple of arms away from being a playoff team. You don't have to blow everything up and start over. You just need to invest in a couple of arms, but they decided to go the blow-it-up route.
And you're right. You know, it's unfortunate. I mean, when I was telling people, and I'm a Cubs fan, and I have a bunch of Marlins fans that were with me, and I told them, man, the Marlins were third or fourth in the league, not the Nationals, in Major League Baseball, in batting and runs batted in. And then you say to yourself, wow, can you imagine what it would have been had we had two or three arms, live arms, in the bullpen, you know, in starting or the bullpen? And the Marlins would have been, I mean, I think they would be contending. And it's sad. I mean, I understand money talks and all that, but it's sad when you know that they gave up on this team.
Right, right.
You know, and it's hard. It's the third time they blow it up. And so I don't know what you do when you're a Marlins fan. I mean, how do you give up all this money? I mean, a hot dog and a beer, you know, the beers were like $14, $12.
That's crazy.
You know? It's crazy. So you say to yourself, at least give yourself something to go there. And those two guys with the bags over their head, God bless them. You know, they were teasing me, this and that. But they said they know that when we're not facing the Cubs, that I'll be there with my Marlins jersey. And I will be.
And good for you. So,
and I want the Marlins to win, but, you know, what are you going to do, man? It's sad, man. It's a sad day. And you know what? Good job for the Marlins to sticking in there for four or five innings, battling with the Cubs, you know, and, you know, go Fish, you know, and go Cubbies for me at least.
All right, man, I appreciate the call. Yeah, I didn't realize I would offend so many people with my air conditioning joke. This is just one of about a dozen. Dono, don't be a tool. The AC system in your house is completely different than what Marlins Park uses. I never would have guessed that, Tito. I assumed that Marlins Park has the exact same Rheem AC unit that I have in my garage. Like, I'm learning something today. Don't be a tool. The AC system in your house is completely different than what Marlins Park uses. Chiller towers, cool water, then pump it through coils in the stadium. Other facilities use the same towers as well. And then he adds, don't be a tool. So twice in the same text, I'm told not to be a tool. Oh, man. How many times is that guy going to say he was a Cubs fan, a texter writes? He did throw that in there about two dozen times.
By the way, I'm a Cubs fan. I just...
Are you a Cubs fan, Tito? I see you're wearing a Bears hat over there.
No, this is actually a Cincinnati
Reds hat. Oh, sorry, Cincinnati Reds hat. So are you a Cincinnati fan?
No. I'm a Marlins fan as well, but I'm with you. I just like the hat.
All right. Yeah, you're such a millennial. Somebody writes in, what's the number to call live? 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Okay, so there is a little bit of outrage about Mel Kiper Jr. and a couple things that he said. I take issue with something that Mel Kiper said, not only about Baker Mayfield, who could be a future Miami Dolphin, but about what the Dolphins will do with this upcoming draft. We'll get to that when we come back. But I want to talk about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. The Quarterdeck is my spot to watch every big game, to watch every big UFC pay-per-view fight. They have every UFC pay-per-view for zero cover charge. You pay nothing at the door to watch a fight at the Quarterdeck. And while you're there, you enjoy the delicious food, the oysters and Maine lobster, the world-class sushi, the fresh mahi, man, it swims right out of the ocean, right into the Quarterdeck kitchen. It's so amazing. The chicken wings are delicious. I love the chicken ciabatta sandwich at the Quarterdeck. The baby back ribs are tender. Meat falls off the bone. Whatever you do, when you're at the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill, save at least a little room for dessert, because the key lime cheesecake, that is the perfect way to finish every meal, and you wash it all down with the 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. That never ends. I love the 2-for-1 margaritas, and the wine selection is impressive at the Quarterdeck. So whether you're having a meal with family and friends or you're there to knock back a few beers and watch the big game, make the Quarterdeck your spot. To find the menu and to find the location nearest to you, visit them on the web at quarterdeckrestaurants.com, because the Quarterdeck is where you come for the food and stay for the The last 3-4 years, I've been doing the draft shows with Big O on the station, so I've got to prepare myself. And so you scour the internet for mock drafts. What's Todd McShay thinking? Mike Mayock, who does he have the Dolphins picking? Mel Kiper. But I can't help but feel like when Mel Kiper is putting these mock drafts together, he will completely ignore the needs that a team brings to the table. because what I saw him, who I saw him give to the Dolphins at number 11 in his latest mock was very puzzling to me. So in his latest mock draft, draft guru from ESPN, Mel Kiper, has the Miami Dolphins selecting at 11th overall Florida State safety Derwin James. Now, okay, let me jog your memory on this one. So at one starting safety spot, the Dolphins have a perennial Pro Bowler in his prime, probably the best player on that team, period, regardless of position, in Rashad Jones. And then at the other starting safety position, you've got TJ McDonald, who they just gave a new contract, 4 years, $24 million to. And so, okay, I understand that people will sometimes, if you're such a level-headed Dolphin fan, you'll tell me, Dono, quit with the quarterback fantasy at number 11 overall. This team has unbelievable needs at linebacker or defensive tackle. Like, they just, you know, Ryan Tannehill, he may not be Peyton Manning in his prime, but at least you're set at that position. Let's think about drafting by need. To draft a safety, and maybe this is my Hurricanes bias, but I also feel that Derwin James is a tad overrated. Yeah, I know he ran a 4.47 at the combine, and Kiper is all excited about that. But the idea of the Dolphins taking a safety with the 11th overall pick, you know, it makes me think that Kiper is just not paying attention. Like, okay, fine. If you think that's the 11th overall best player on your board, at least specify that. But to have the Dolphins selecting that guy when that would be a nonsensical pick for this team, although I am talking about the same Dolphins that have a lot of defensive ends and took Charles Harris last year. But still, the idea of selecting Derwin James at 11th overall, it doesn't make any sense to me. And then people also point out this this stuff with Kiper in recent days where he's using Lamar Jackson's completion percentage to knock the guy. His completion percentage needs to be better. Yet in a recent conference call talking about Josh Allen, who he likes very much, he said, oh, his completion percentage doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. He'll be fine. So in the one breath, you are downplaying a completion percentage to prop up the guy you like at number one. And then for Lamar Jackson, you're using his completion percentage against him. There's a little bit of hypocrisy there. Am I right?
That's with Josh Allen placing worse competition too. Mind you, he's playing worse competition.
Yet don't worry about his completion percentage. But if you want to completely debunk the idea that Lamar Jackson is going to be a good quarterback, that completion percentage, it's not good. And okay, so this one isn't on Kiper, but you know, Tito, we were talking about this before the show that people are knocking Baker Mayfield for something that I think this is pretty cool. Like I think this shows competitive edge. This shows a fighting spirit that I wouldn't mind having in a football player, specifically a quarterback. According to Robert Klemko of Sports Illustrated, in an in-depth feature on Baker Mayfield and his dealing with criticism, and guess what? Baker Mayfield gets a lot of criticism. Too small, hands are too small, he's too short to play the position, he's too fiery, he might get into trouble, he reminds me of Johnny Manziel. Like, there are a dozen criticisms flying at Baker Mayfield every single day. Mayfield is keeping a list, says Klemko. He's keeping a list of the media members who have crossed a line, he says, and he stores screenshots of offending tweets in his phone. All of it serves as motivation when he's working out alone, he told Wilson. I hear that and I think, okay, I don't mind football players taking criticism, bulletin board material, constantly reminding themselves of that to say, I need to rise above this and I need to prove the critics wrong. Yet there are people saying, oh, this is a sign of weak character for Baker Mayfield. This could be his downfall. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, people cherry pick arguments to try and knock down a player that they don't like anyway. Like, there are plenty of people who already have a bias against Baker Mayfield. You've made up your mind. You think he's going to crash and burn at the NFL level. And now you're cherry picking whatever you possibly can to try and support your argument. I don't like it. I mean, if anything else, that story about Mayfield saving negative tweets on his phone to use it as motivation, like, I think that's one of the reasons why Adam Gase will come out and say, this is my kind of guy. Like, I think that's the sort of fight that Gase likes to have in players. And I don't think this is going to be a downfall for Baker Mayfield. I think this is a positive sign that this guy wants to go out there and prove the haters wrong. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Rick. You're on QAM. What's up, Rick?
Donald, how's fatherhood treating you?
Excellent, man. 30 days old, my son, today. And There's always new little challenges that come up with getting him not to cry so much, but his weight is on point. He's a healthy baby, and I couldn't ask for any more.
Well, you and your wife are very blessed, and it's continued favor to you guys.
Thank
friend.
You.
Wanted to touch base real quick with you. I know it's opening day, and we're already the laughing stock of Major League Baseball. It's official. It's officially official, I guess, today with us giving up a home run with the first pitch of the game, and then Giancarlo hitting one of his first at bat as an official at the Yankee. But unfortunately, you know, living here in South Florida the last 50 some odd years, I got to tell you, Don, this town will never be a baseball town. Mm. And I've had this conversation with plenty. The same thing will always happen. We don't embrace baseball. You would think with the large Hispanic community that they would definitely be involved, but they just don't. They don't come in and day out. We can blame a lot of different factors, but at the end of the day, last year we had the All-Star game here, and that was such a farce. I had a chance to look at the RBI program, which is called Rejuvenating Baseball in the Inner City. It's a great program, and they opened up a brand new park there. We did Hadley Park, I believe it was. Did some good things, you know, just for show, but it's just something that Major League Baseball has to deal with. Okay, we'll go over there. We'll give him some attention, some time, and we'll move on. It was known back then what type of owner we were going to sell this team to. I mean, everything. I mean, everybody that has just a little bit of a baseball or pro baseball IQ knew it was coming, and it just never changes. And it's sad because you had a caller mention earlier about being a Cub fan and seeing some little 12-year-old kid next to him say, hey, that guy in center field, he's going to be your stud. He's going to be your guy. And then that guy disappears and he leaves.
Right.
And that's just, it's unfortunate, but it's never going to work here, to be honest. And unfortunately, the late Jim Mandich, he knew this very well way back when. And he said, hey, this whole thing stinks. They need to go and we need to move on. And I think he was right. Unfortunately, I think he was right because the only people that have really suffered, besides the fans, little kids, look at the amount of the financial impact it's had on our community. It's not a positive one. We're having to take this guy to court to get what belongs to the taxpayers.
Right.
All these jobs. Well, you know, if the place is empty, who are you going to sell popcorn to? You know, who's going to go ahead and work the parking area? There's no cars coming. And it's sad, brother. It's really sad because I love this community. I love South Florida. But I've always known that we can't sustain it. And it was it's a shame because, unfortunately, the programs and and the activities that we do come in day year in, year out, we support pretty well the Dolphins and the Hurricanes. That place should have never been torn down.
The Orange Bowl, I agree. And that Marlins Park was built on those hallowed grounds.
It should have been fixed. It should have been redone. And that, I would say, that aura that we've had of football greatness at both professional, collegiate, and let's talk about some of the best high school football games you've ever seen in the state of Florida in the Southeast played in that Orange Bowl. With the old Jackson and Northwestern playing the Soul Bowl. So much was taken away from this community. And unfortunately, the powers that be that all get taken care of one way or another, you know, and Slick, Donna Shalala, everybody was happy. But at the end of the day, opening day, we come today, and it's a joke, and it hurts. And I'm just tired of it.
Well, I got to let you run on that note, my friend, because I'm up against it.
Be well, my friend.
You know, something I always think about with the Marlins, because this is just not a common thing in American sports because, you know, all the other leagues, salary cap, salary floor, even the worst teams are spending money at kind of a comparable way to the best teams. You know, baseball, that's not the case. There are ways around that, and the Marlins have been, you know, they've been below the floor of common sense in spending for a long time. It's like rooting for a provincial European soccer club, right? Like every European soccer league has the haves and the have-nots. Like if you're, you know, if you live in like a small town in Italy and you root for Sassuolo, you know that you know, anytime you get a decent player, they're going to be sold to Juventus. Like you have to realize that you're essentially rooting for a minor league product because anytime you get a decent player, when they come of age, when they come of maturity, one of the bigger clubs are going to come and snatch him up. And that's really the way that that the Marlins have worked. Texter writes in, we are a baseball town. We just are not stupid enough to support greedy owners who don't care about us. I think that's the bigger problem. I think if you were to win at a sustained level and build and keep stars, could be a different story here. There are obvious challenges in the South Florida market. You know, we don't blindly embrace bad products the way that some other towns do, but you have to create excitement and sustain excitement to keep people interested. You know what excites me? New game show we've created. Guess Doug's Lunch. So Doug Plagans, voice of the Florida Panthers, he's a foodie. He loves to eat. He can eat large quantities of food, and he always finds unique and interesting things to dine on, dining with Doug when he's on the road with the Panthers. And I always try my damnedest, you know, when it's a game night on the road. Panthers are in Ottawa tonight. They were in Toronto yesterday. They were in Brooklyn on Monday. I always try and guess what Doug Plagans had for lunch on the road on a game day. And I'm 1 for 2 so far this week, right? When the team was in Brooklyn, I correctly guessed that Doug Plagans had a bagel for lunch because he's a big fan of those bagels in the New York area. I was wrong last night in Toronto when apparently he had Mr. Souvlaki, had some Greek food. I was way off on that one. I guessed Panda Express. I want you to help me. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, or find me on Twitter at Alex Dono, Dono spelled D-O-N-N-O, and help me guess what Doug had for lunch today, because I will give you my best guess today. I want to see if anybody else can get it, because we did have somebody yesterday, Tito, a texter guessed Greek food yesterday in Toronto, and he was correct. I want to see if anybody can correctly guess Doug's lunch today. So Guess Doug's Lunch is coming up next here on WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Hey-o. It's time to play the brand new game show that's sweeping the globe. He always eats like a king when the Panthers are on the road. It's time for Guess Doug's Lunch. So we have Doug Plagans live from Ottawa. Panthers taking on the Senators here tonight. Here's some of the guesses that we've gotten. Jesse Lockhart going out on a limb and guessing shawarma. Jeff Garlitz, McRib from McDonald's. Sean the Hawk guessed Indian food. Panic and Crybaby guessed Panda Express. Always a good educated guess with Doug. He loves Panda Express.
It's delicious.
It is. I think we got a couple of guesses on the text as well. I like this one. Doug ate a dozen cream-filled Tim Hortons donuts. And Doug, you're with us, correct, Doug? Before
yes,
I make
I
my
am.
Guess.
So, yes, I am.
So here is my educated guess based on your eating patterns when the Panthers are on the road. I'm going to guess smoked meat sandwich. Am I in the ballpark?
So I'm going to go off your guess and one other one in there about food in Ottawa. Now, you are wrong, Alex, but I have eaten smoked meat in Ottawa before.
Okay.
There is a Dunn's location in Ottawa downtown. I've eaten there before. I've had smoked meat in Ottawa, just not today. So it was a good guess, but you are incorrect. And also, a listener guessed shawarma. There is also a shawarma place in Ottawa that I like that I did not go to today. So another close one. But also, I've also just been relayed some information, a fact from our on-site engineer here, Matt Conesvita, who says that Ottawa has the most shawarma restaurants per capita outside of the Middle East.
Wow.
So, it is. So it was a good guess.
Great
but
guess.
Incorrect. And again, there's a shawarma place here in Ottawa that I've been to before that I do really enjoy. I went today, too, because it was walking distance from the hotel, the same place I ate at last week in Ottawa, Subway.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? I'm going to say no one would have ever gotten that, but we did get a McDonald's guest and a Panda Express, so there's nothing crazy about that.
Well, no, not at all. And of course, last week, the Panthers won and won handily here in Ottawa, so I wasn't going to do something crazy like change up lunch. So I made sure to go to Subway and order the exact same thing that I had last week.
I appreciate your commitment to superstition. I like that. And Doug, something exciting, Henrik Borgstrom making his NHL debut tonight. Tell us what we can expect from the young man.
Well, Henrik Borgstrom has a ton of skill. This is going to be his NHL debut. Bob Bugner said he kind of got a crash course going through the systems and the way everything works with the Panthers, so he's going to get his first taste of the National Hockey League tonight. He's going to play on a line with Dennis Mulgan and Frank Vetrano as his wingers. Borgstrom's going to play in the middle, and sounds like he could see some time on the power play as well. So the Panthers trying to get back on the winning track here tonight against an Ottawa team that they beat by a significant margin, 7-2 here last week in this same building.
Love that. Panthers and Ottawa Senators here tonight. You can hear it right here on the radio station. Doug Plagans will be on the call. Doug, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again here in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Florida Panthers, Ottawa Senators. Panthers are looking to, by the end of the night, perhaps close within a point of the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Been a very exciting run, and Panthers fell just short in a tough game on the road yesterday in Toronto. Really started a rally courtesy of Jonathan Huberdeau, scoring a late first period goal and a late second period goal, but the Panthers came up just shy of that. So when we come back, the Florida Panthers will take the ice 7:30 tonight. We got a full edition of Panthers preview yet to come. You're listening to Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.